For those of you who know me, you know that I'm a guy that loves sports. I love all kinds of sports. I love competition. And so as a kid growing up through the 70s and 80s, man, I couldn't wait to get in front of the television and watch all kinds of sporting events. I used to love watching NFL football, college football, NBA basketball. I used to love watching the World Series. And so as a kid growing up, over time, I slowly started to notice something. I didn't realize it was happening, but it started to catch on. I started to look for this guy in the stands on television, whether it be behind the goalpost or at some kind of basketball game. But there was a guy, and he was always wearing one of these right here. He would always have one of these on his head. And it became a competition in my house, kind of like Find Waldo. We were trying to find the guy with the rainbow wig. And I know what you're doing right now. A lot of you just pulled out your phone and you're texting me and you can't wait to tell me or make a joke that, oh, look at there, Cash finally has hair. I hear you. I hear your bald jokes. But man, we could not wait to find this guy with the rainbow hair at all of these sporting events. But do you remember what sign he was holding? Do you remember what sign he had and what it said? And a lot of you who grew up in the 70s and 80s and who watch sports, you know what it said. But for those of you who don't know, this guy would wear a rainbow wig, but he would also be holding one of these right here, a John 3:16 sign. And this guy went by the name of Roland Stewart. He was also known as the Rainbow Man. And man, he would travel 60,000 miles a week. He would sleep in his car to save money so that he would have enough money to buy tickets. And he would try to go to at least two big sporting events every week. But then over time, it didn't just become Roland doing this. Other people started to catch on. And as you can see on your screen right now, the pictures that are scrolling, other people started to jump into this and participate with this. You're seeing where a team would line up for an extra point or a field goal, and you would see behind the goalpost, John 3:16. You would see at a baseball game when the pitcher is winding up to throw the pitch, behind the plate, a John 3:16 sign. You would see at golf matches, John 3:16. And so finally, they asked Roland Stewart, why are you doing this? Why are you putting 60,000 miles on your car every year and sleeping in your car? That's got to be uncomfortable. Like, why are you doing this? And his response was simple. I think it's important that everybody knows how much God loves them. Man, isn't that the truth? If you're a guest with us right now, we are so glad that you have joined us. My name is Stuart Cash, and I'm one of the ministers on staff here at the Pleasant Valley Church of Christ. And we are thrilled that you've joined us this morning. Whether you live right here in Little Rock, maybe you're watching out of state, but you've been joining us online. We love to have the opportunity to get to meet you and come to know you and connect with you. Members, we really miss you. Man, we can't wait till that day where we can finally see you face to face and finally worship together. But continue to get in your tiny churches. Continue to know that your elders are praying for you and that they love you. And if you have your Bibles this morning, be ready to open those up. We're going to be looking at a lot of different passages and a lot of different scriptures. But that John 3:16 that started off at all of these ball games has an important message. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that son that God sent into this world to save us all, he started his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 18. So if you have your Bibles, open up there now. And this is what it says, starting with verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And at once they dropped their nets and started to follow him. And then Jesus carried on from there, and he saw two other brothers. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. So Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. And so Jesus carried this on. He had Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and he carried on from there, and he started to add other men who we've come to know as the 12 original apostles. And I love teaching about the apostles to kids and to tweens and different people. And so right now, I want to challenge you. If you have a tween in your house or in your tiny church, or if you have a kid that has taken a class with me about the 12 original apostles, we studied what we called 52 Mab Street. I want you to pause the video and I want you to ask them, can you name the 12 original apostles off of 52 Mab Street? I want to know which ones can. And if they do it correctly, if they can name all 12, Jonathan Stormont, when he gets back from his study break, is going to take them to get ice cream. He doesn't know that, but it's going to happen. And so pause the video right now and see if they can name the 12 original apostles. But Jesus carried on from there, and he got the 12 original, who were James, John, Jude and Judas, Peter and Philip, Matthew, Andrew, Bartholomew, Simon, and Thomas. And it's important to note that the apostles heard the teachings of Jesus, and they saw all of these miracles. I mean, can you imagine? Like the things that we study today, the teachings of Jesus, these 12 original men got to hear it come straight from the mouth of Jesus. They were present and got to hear these great teachings. They got to hear the Beatitudes. They got to hear Jesus talking about salt and light, giving to the needy. They heard him talk about the importance of loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you. They heard him speak and preach about not worrying, about eternity, about forgiveness, what forgiveness looks like, and how many times we should forgive our brothers and sisters. Not only these great teachings, could you imagine the miracles that the apostles got to see? I mean, we today say, oh, if I could just see one miracle of Jesus, man, I would believe. They got to see all of them. They got to see Jesus healing people. If you flip through the scriptures of Jesus calming the storm, casting out demons, they got to see Jesus feeding the 5,000 and then a little bit longer feeding the 4,000. They got to see Jesus raising people from the dead. I mean, it was amazing. And hearing and witnessing these miracles and teachings firsthand, at the very least, should have shown the apostles how much Jesus loved them. And so at the first 3+ years of the ministry of Jesus, these 12 lucky men got to hear all these teachings and see all of these miracles, and everything was great. But then things started to change a little bit. And that brings us to our next passage in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, this is a passage that we have tagged as the Last Supper. And Jesus sat down with these 12 original apostles, and this is what he said, starting with verse 17. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and he prepared the Passover. And when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you here is going to betray me.' And they were very sad and began to say to him, one after another, 'Surely you don't mean me, Lord, surely not I.' And Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me.'" And so here Jesus sits down for this Last Supper and he makes a bold prediction. One of you 12 is going to betray me. But then he carries on and he makes two more predictions of what's going to happen. When all this chaos breaks, two more things are going to happen. Starting with verse 26, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, 'This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee.' And Peter replied, 'Even if all fall away, Lord, I won't. I never will.' And Jesus said, 'Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And Peter, being Peter, was like, 'Lord, if I have to die with you, I'll die with you, but I will not deny you.' And the scriptures tell us that the other disciples said the same thing. And so here at the Last Supper, everything has been great up to that point, but everything is about to change. And Jesus makes 3 predictions. He says, first off, all of you apostles, you're going to scatter. Once they come to arrest me, you're going to flee, you're going to be gone. He also says, one of you 12 is going to betray me. And then he told Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And so after this supper, Jesus goes out into the garden and he starts praying. And off in the distance, here come the people to arrest him. And they mock him, they spit on him, they laugh at him. They make him wear a crown of thorns and they bow down and they're beating him. And they make him carry his own cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And he gets on this cross and he dies for it. He's crucified for you and for me. Everybody thought it was over. They thought that was the end, but it wasn't. As we know, it was just the beginning, because 3 days later, that tomb was empty. And guess what? That tomb is still empty today. Jesus had risen just as he said. And so at the Last Supper, once again, he had made three bold predictions that were going to happen through all of this chaos of him being arrested and him being taken and crucified. He had told the apostles, you're going to scatter. When they come to get me, all of you are going to flee. And we see in Matthew chapter 26, verse 56, that of course that prediction came true. Not only that, he said, one of you 12 in this circle right here, one of you is going to betray me. And they did. In verses 47 through 50, it says that one of the 12 named Judas did indeed betray Jesus, and he betrayed him with a kiss. And then, of course, the story of Peter. Peter saying, Lord, I'll die with you if I have to, but I'll never deny you. It says in verses 70 through 75 that Jesus was correct, that Peter didn't die with Jesus. Instead, he did deny him, just as Jesus said. And so these three bold predictions that Jesus made, of course, came true. And that's no surprise to any of us, right? Like, of course they came true. Jesus said it. Of course they came true. That's no surprise. Doesn't shock anybody. But there is something in this story that does surprise me. There is something in this story right here of the Last Supper with the chaos that follows that I struggle with. There's something in this story that I've always struggled with. Even as a kid, learning about this in Bible class and studying this, something that I can't let go of, something that still hurts me today. In my opinion, it's the saddest story in the Bible. Something still to this day that breaks my heart. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. That's the point that I want to make here in just a minute. But before we get there, years ago, there was this big debate on social media. Man, it had people divided. It had families divided. It had husbands against wives. It had two different groups looking at the others going, what are you thinking? Have you lost your mind? It had some husbands and wives thinking about going to counseling. Like, it got real heated at times in different homes. And that big debate that broke out on social media was this. What color is this dress? What color is this dress? Right now in your tiny church or at your house, I want you to say out loud what color you think this dress is. Some of you are looking at this dress and you think it's blue and black. Some of you are looking at this dress right now and you think that it's white and gold. And I would love to be with you right now, because those who are saying out loud, oh, it's blue and black, the ones who see it white and gold are looking at you weird, like, have you lost your mind? But the ones who see it white and gold, the other group that sees it blue and black, are looking at you thinking, yep, you're crazy. You've truly lost it. And some of you right now are looking at this dress and you're seeing a combination of the colors. You may be seeing, you know, black and gold or blue and white. If you're seeing a combination of those colors, I can promise you this, you are wrong. You are not correct. But it's crazy how we can look at that dress and see different colors. But also, not just the dress. There was something else that came out on social media that had people divided into two separate groups and is going to have your tiny church right now divided. And that's a sound that plays through the speakers. Okay, so right now I want you to have your family stay quiet. I want you to have your tiny church stay quiet. And this sound is going to play through the speakers four times. And then I want you to tell me, or tell your group, what you hear. You're either going to hear Laurel, or you're either going to hear Yanny. You're going to hear one of those two. And here it is. Listen.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Isn't that crazy? So right now in your home or your tiny church, just tell everybody what side you're on. Raise your hand if you heard Laurel. All right, everybody look at them. Raise your hand if you heard Yanny. Everybody look at them. And you can pause this if you need to argue and hash this out. I get it. If you need to fight this out, you fight it out. But you fight it out in Christian love. Do you understand me? You fight it out the right way. But not only the color of the dress or the sound coming through the speaker, what about this sign right here? Read this sign out loud. How did you read it? Because some of you read this sign, "You matter, don't give up." But some of you read it left to right and you read, "You don't matter, give up." And so it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that we can all see the same dress, yet some of us see it one color and some of us see it the other. It's crazy to me how we can all hear the same sound coming through the speaker, yet some of you heard Laurel and some of you heard Yanny. It's crazy to me that we can all see the same sign, yet get two different messages. It just blows my mind, and I just don't get it. But you know what else I don't get? Something else that's crazy, something else that blows my mind, something that I struggle with and have always struggled with, is that in the story of the 12 original apostles, when it came during the time of the Last Supper and the chaos that followed, how is it possible that Peter and Judas, who both were with Jesus through all of the teachings, they both got to hear the same teachings. Peter and Judas both heard Jesus talking about grace. They both got to hear him teach about mercy and forgiveness. Both of them got to see all of the miracles that Jesus performed. They got to see all Jesus healing the sick, raising some people from the dead. Both Peter and Judas, in the last hours of all the chaos going on and all the confusion that the apostles were going through, both Peter and Judas made a horrible mistake. They both basically turned their back on Jesus. And you know what blows my mind and something I struggle with? That both Peter and Judas not only heard the teachings, saw the miracles, and made a horrible mistake at the end, but yet only one of their stories has a happy ending. Only one of them has a happy ending. We look at the life of Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times, and we see where he was forgiven and he was able to carry on. He was able to go and spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to thousands of people. He was able to witness thousands being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and giving their life to Christ. How beautiful that story is. But yet we see the life of Judas, who heard those same teachings, who saw those same miracles, who also made a mistake in the end. Come to the conclusion that, you know what, this is the end of the road for me. I've made a mistake. I can't be forgiven. This is something that God's grace and mercy probably won't cover. And you know what? His life ended differently than the life of Peter. If I were to ask you a bold question this morning, this is one that I don't want you to answer out loud. Which one can you relate to the most? You feel more like Peter, or do you feel more like Judas? Because I think several watching today can relate to Peter. You understand that life. But man, if I were to be honest with you this morning, there's too many watching right now that don't feel like Peter. Too many watching right now feel too much like Judas. They feel as if they have come to the end of the road. They feel as if they can't be forgiven, surely not for the things that they've done. It saddens me that we today are hearing different messages, that we're not hearing the same message. A lot of us this morning, we can relate to Peter. I can relate to Peter. I have a lot of sin in my life. I made a lot of mistakes. There are things in my past that I'm not proud of. There'll be things in my future that I'm not proud of. But you know what? When I take my last breath here on this earth, when I get to go home, when there's a separation of the sheep and the goats, when there's a separation of the weeds and the wheat, when the separation happens between the good fish and the bad fish, I can put a smile on my face because I know that God's grace, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness is covering me. I understand the promises that God gave me in the scripture. I understand John 3:16, that beautiful message that was trying to be spread throughout the world, that everybody needs to hear, that God sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Man, what a blessing it is to know and to feel God's love and to feel His forgiveness. But not everybody feels that way. Not everybody can relate to Peter. Too many people, once again, relate to Judas. That's who they see. Too many people feel as if they can't be forgiven. Too many people feel as if, man, they've made too many mistakes. Too many people feel as if this is the end of their road. You know, they're thinking, man, surely God's grace and mercy and love can't cover me and what I've done. Or maybe they've been told or been made to feel as if they aren't welcome. Maybe they've been told or been made to feel that, you know what, you probably need to get some things cleaned up in your life first before you're able to come. Too many people have probably been made to feel or told, you know what, it's best if you just go somewhere else. Church, I'm going to get blunt with you right now. I'm going to be very honest. There are people who have intentionally or unintentionally made non-churchgoers, guests, or even people sitting in our pews feel like a Judas. They have intentionally or unintentionally made people feel as if they can't be forgiven. They've made people feel that, you know what, it probably is the end of your road, that you have committed too many sins in your life. You have made too many mistakes. Church family, that can't happen. That can't happen. That's got to change. Jesus Christ is for everybody, and John 3:16 is for everybody. And so I want to say this right now. If you're watching, or maybe you're not watching, but you know somebody who feels like Judas, listen to me very clearly and listen to me very carefully. We're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things we're not proud of, and we will continue to do things that we're not proud of. Nobody is perfect. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." There are many messages in the world today, and if you're a Judas right now watching and you think, I've made too many mistakes or I can't be forgiven, there are many messages, but only one message is true, and only one message out there matters, and it's this message right here. It's what this says. This is truth, and this is the message that you need to see. This is the message that you need to hear. Maybe you're sitting there right now and you're thinking, you know what? I can't be forgiven. Well, that's opposite of what this says. It's opposite of what the truth says. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're Judas or you feel like Judas right now and you think, you know what, I'm not worthy, I'm not valuable. In Luke 12, it says that indeed the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. God created you. Of course you have worth. Of course you have value. If you're sitting there right now and you think, man, I'm not welcome. I've done too much in my life. I'm just not welcome. Don't forget what Jesus says in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Maybe you're sitting there and you feel like Judas and you think, man, I've got too much sin in my life. Don't forget the story in Mark chapter 2 when Jesus is having dinner at Matthew's house. And people are walking by going, why are you having dinner at his house, Jesus? Matthew's house? He's a sinner. Matthew was known for having a lot of sin. He was a tax collector. He was a big sinner. What did Jesus say to those comments? Did Jesus say, oh, yeah, you're right. He's got too much sin. You're right. No. Jesus said, you know what? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. In other words, Jesus is saying, I came for those people. Those are the people I love. And if you're sitting there this morning and you think, this is the end of the road for me, there's no turning back for what I've done. Don't forget what the scriptures say in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So I'm telling you this morning, hear the truth. Hear the truth today. You don't have too much sin in your life. You're not at the end of the road, but instead you can be forgiven. You are worthy. This tells us that we're valuable and worthy. This morning, you need to hear the truth that you are always welcome. There's nothing that you've done or going to do that can't be covered by the love and the forgiveness and the grace of God. God loves you more than you could ever imagine, and you need to hear that message this morning. And so if you're watching right now and you feel like Judas or you feel like Peter and you need prayers in your life or you know somebody that needs prayers, they need to hear this positive message. Or if you've yet to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, but you would love to ask questions or study about that, we'd love to study with you. But in closing, I'll say this morning. In Luke chapter 15, there's a story that Jesus told about two sons, and one of the sons told his father, Father, give me all of my inheritance. I'm ready to go off. I'm ready to leave this place. And he gave him his inheritance, and he went off into the world and did all the things that the world told him were peace and happiness and joy, until one day he woke up and he thought, what am I doing? What have I done with my life? What are all these mistakes I've made? And so he thought, maybe I should go home. But how am I going to be accepted when I go home? I'm sure he was nervous. But he picked up all of his things and he started to slowly make his way back home. But little did he know that every day the Father was looking out for him. He was waiting for him to come home. And that Father is a representation of our Father in heaven. And that one day when he looked out and he saw his son coming back home, his Father ran to him with open arms and he said two words to him, "Welcome home. Welcome home." And he hugged him. You know what the Father didn't say to him? The Father didn't say, "Where have you been?" The Father didn't say, "What were you thinking when you made those decisions?" You know what the Father didn't say? "Well, you're going to have to pay me back all of that money." The Father ran to him. And he said, "Welcome home." This morning, for any of you that feel like Judas, you need to hear the correct message. No matter what you've done, no matter what struggles or temptations you're currently facing, your life can have a happy ending. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And he's for everybody. If you're Judas this morning, it's time to come home.